Have you ever entered a quiet office late at night when the only sound is the hum of a flickering fluorescent light and felt the unmistakable sense that you are not alone? Imagine the shadows stretching longer, the silence growing heavier, and out of the corner of your eye, something you can't explain. A shiver that tells you that something from the past lingers, waiting to be noticed. Tonight we journey into a story where the walls remember pain, and even the comfort of a restroom becomes a stage for the supernatural. Welcome to the True Philippine Ghost Stories podcast. This is episode 3 of season 2, Bloodstains in the Comfort Room, inspired by Judy May Geronimo's unforgettable account from True Philippine Ghost Stories, book 2, pages 16-19. This episode is not only for fans of the paranormal, but for anyone who has ever wondered about the boundaries between our world and what lies just beyond, a boundary that sometimes blurs when we least expect it. Filipino ghost stories are a unique blend of tradition, history, and the everyday fears that we all hold. We grow up hearing tales of white ladies, headless priests, and restless souls. But even if you didn't grow up in the Philippines, you might recognize the feeling. That tingling sense of unease in a dark hallway, the goosebumps that rise when a story hits a little too close to home. There's something universal about the fear of the unknown, and something deeply personal about the stories our own communities tell. Tonight we explore a haunting that takes place in a place meant to be safe and private, the office restroom. Imagine, just for a moment, being a hard-working newspaper employee, burning the midnight oil in a building with a reputation for strange, unexplainable things. You're trying to finish your work, but sometimes the lights flicker, the elevator stops, but no one is there. And sometimes, when you're alone, you hear a woman crying for help. Would you be brave enough to find out what's behind the haunting? Or would you, like so many before you, run from the bloodstains in the comfort room? Tonight we'll hear the story as it was told to Judy May Geronimo, a story that begins with a warning to never stay in the office too late, and ends with a chilling discovery that still haunts the building along Tikala. But before we get too deep, let me ask you, what would you do if the places you trusted most, the places that should be safe, became the very sites of fear? How much of what we fear is a shadow of the past? And how much is a reflection of our own anxiety? I'm Mark, and you are listening to the True Philippine Ghost Stories podcast. Let's set the scene. The story takes place in the heart of Manila, on bustling T. Calawal Street. A place alive with history, traffic, and the everyday routines of city life. Rising above the chaos is an old building, once a condominium, but now the home of the Daily Tribune, a well-known newspaper. On the ninth and highest floor, you'll find a newsroom buzzing with activity, especially as deadlines approach and the pressure mounts to get the news out before the presses roll. But this is no ordinary office. From the moment the staff moved in, there were whispers, stories passed along in hushed voices, words of warning given with nervous laughter. The elevator, with its slow, jerky movements and ancient creaks, seemed almost alive. Sometimes it would stop for no reason, doors sliding open to reveal nothing, just an empty hallway. Other times, the lights in the vestibule would flicker, casting eerie shadows on the walls. Still, newspaper people are a skeptical bunch. They're trained to look for the facts, to question everything. When they heard about the strange occurrences, faucets turning on by themselves in the comfort room, the sound of a woman crying for help, they brushed it off. Every old building has its quirks, right? Every office has its share of ghost stories. But the warnings were clear. Never stay too late and never ever go to the comfort room alone after dark. Who were these people who worked in the building? Tireless reporters chasing deadlines, editors scanning stories for mistakes, proofreaders making sure every word was just right. They were people like you and me, focused on their work, wanting only to finish their tasks and go home to their families. But as the nights wore on and the stories became more frequent, skepticism began to give way to fear. One night, as the clock ticked closer to the 11 o'clock deadline, a scream shattered the newsroom's tense silence. It came from the comfort room, the very place everyone had learned to avoid. Dropping their work, the entire staff rushed to the scene. There they found one of the proofreaders standing frozen before the mirror, unable to speak, her face twisted in terror. She pointed at the mirror, and everyone saw it. Blood splattered across the glass, bright and fresh, as if someone had just been hurt. Then, as if on cue, the faucets turned themselves on, water gushing out with a life of its own. Panic erupted, and everyone fled to the safety of the newsroom. After that night, nobody wanted to go to the comfort room alone. The story became the talk of the office, a source of nervous jokes and anxious glances. But it didn't end there. Whatever haunted the comfort room seemed to have followed them back to their desks. Swivel chairs began to spin on their own, computers flickered on and off, even when unplugged, and the sound of typing echoed through the office long after everyone had gone home. It wasn't just the reporters and editors who felt it. Even the security guards began to talk. One guard, so shaken by what he saw, quit his job on the spot. He claimed to have seen the face of a woman, distorted, bloody, and desperate, lurking in the shadows during his rounds. The fear spread, and soon everyone wondered, who was haunting the building and what did she want? At this point, the story takes a turn. Some of the braver employees decided to call in spirit questers, people believed to have the ability to communicate with spirits. They wanted answers, and more than anything, they wanted peace of mind, especially for those who had to work late into the night. But not everyone believed. The editor-in-chief dismissed the whole thing as nonsense, urging everyone to focus on their jobs. Still, the questers were invited in, and what they discovered would change the way everyone saw the building and the comfort room forever. This story, sourced from True Philippine Ghost Stories Book 2, pages 16-19, is a classic example of how the past can haunt the present, and how even the most ordinary places can hide extraordinary secrets. As we continue, I want you to ask yourself, what would you do if you were in their shoes? Would you search for the truth? Or would you turn away and hope the haunting would simply go away? Now let's dive deeper into the heart of the haunting, the story that unfolded inside those walls and the history that still lingers in every shadow. According to the spirit questers, contacting the restless spirit was like watching a movie unfold, each scene vivid and heartbreaking. The building, before it became the home of the Daily Tribune, was a condominium. Among its residents was a beautiful mestiza woman and her husband. Outwardly, they might have seemed like any other couple, but behind closed doors, their home was a sight of terror. As you would expect. He was a shaman with a sight of terror. The woman was a battered wife, suffering in silence at the hands of her husband. He would slap her for the smallest mistakes, drag her by the hair across the floor, and keep hitting her until she was bruised and bloodied. Her cries for mercy, parangawa mo na, tama na, were met with cold indifference. It's a haunting reminder of the real-life horror that can exist behind closed doors, and a reflection of the struggles many women face around the world. One day, her husband's violence reached its terrible peak. Arriving home in a rage, he called her out of the bedroom and slapped her so hard she fell to the ground. Without a word, he dragged her by the hair from the living room to the comfort room, her scalp bleeding from the force. There, in a final act of cruelty, he slammed her head against the bathtub, splitting her skull open and ending her life on the spot. Blood spattered the walls, the floor, the tub, and most memorably, the bathroom mirror. The woman died not knowing why she was being punished. Her pain, confusion, and longing for justice lingered long after her body was gone. The spirit questers, moved by what they saw, asked her what she needed to find peace. Her answer was unexpected. She was searching for a Quran, the holy book of Islam. In life, she may have found comfort in her faith, and in death, she still sought its guidance. But the building had changed so much over the years, renovated, repurposed, stripped of any trace of its former residence. No one knew where to find a Quran, or even who to ask, and so her spirit continued to wander, crying for help, leaving behind chilling reminders of her suffering. Bloodstains in the comfort room, flickering lights, and the sound of sobbing that echoed through the halls late at night. As the story spread, it became part of the building's identity. New employees heard the warnings and learned to avoid the comfort room after dark. Some tried to dismiss it as just another ghost story, but others saw the signs for themselves. Chairs moving, computers switching on and off, and the unmistakable feeling of being watched. The story of the building on Te Kala is not just a tale of the supernatural. It's a window into Filipino beliefs about restless spirits, unfinished business, and the ways in which trauma can linger long after the events themselves have passed. In Filipino culture, the idea of multi-restless spirits is deeply rooted. Many believe that when someone dies tragically or with unresolved pain, their soul cannot move on until they find justice or peace. This belief is reflected in the rituals people perform to help spirits move forward.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Prayers, offerings, and, in this case, the quest for a sacred book. It's a reminder that ghost stories are not just about fear. They're also about compassion, understanding, and the hope that even the most tormented souls can find rest. Throughout this story, I couldn't help but feel a mix of fear and empathy. The haunting details, the blood on the mirror, the crying in the night, the desperate search for peace, are chilling, but they also speak to something deeper. The ways in which our actions, both good and bad, can echo through time, affecting not just ourselves, but everyone around us. As we move into the analysis, I encourage you to think about the power of these stories, not just to scare us, but to teach us about empathy, justice, and the importance of facing the past. Let's take a step back and examine what makes Bloodstains in the Comfort Room such a powerful and enduring story, both as a work of horror and as a reflection of Filipino culture. First, the narrative techniques. Judy May Geronimo's account is masterful in its pacing and detail. The story begins with small, unsettling occurrences, flickering lights, an old elevator, unexplained noises. These are classic horror elements, the build-up of tension, the ordinary turned sinister. By the time the proofreader sees blood on the mirror, the reader is already primed for something terrible, but the revelation still shocks. The use of a communal space, a comfort room, only heightens the fear. Restrooms are places where we expect privacy and safety, so to have them become sites of terror is deeply unsettling. The story also excels at blending the supernatural with real social issues. Domestic violence is a tragic reality for many, and by making the ghost a victim of abuse, the narrative forces us to confront uncomfortable truths. The haunting is not just a random act. It's the lingering pain of someone who suffered in silence. This adds emotional weight and makes the story more than just a simple ghost tale. Filipino cultural beliefs play a huge role here. The concepts of multo and restless spirits are common in Philippine folklore. Many Filipinos believe that spirits remain in the world when they have unfinished business or have suffered unjustly. The idea that the woman's spirit cannot move on until her needs are met, specifically her request for a Quran, reflects the importance of spiritual closure in Filipino culture. This is echoed in real-life practices like prayers for the dead, novenas, and even spirit questing, where people try to help lost souls find peace. There's also the element of respect for the supernatural. In the Philippines, even skeptics will often follow certain rituals, just in case. Knocking on wood, saying tabi-tabi po when passing a dark corner, or avoiding certain places at night. The employee's decision to call in spirit questers, despite the editor-in-chief's skepticism, is a perfect example of how these beliefs persist even in modern professional settings. But logically, the story taps into universal fears: isolation, the unknown, and the idea that evil can hide where we least expect it. The comfort room, meant to be a place of safety and privacy, becomes a stage for horror. The blood on the mirror is particularly striking. Mirrors are often seen as gateways to other worlds, and to see something as unnatural as blood on the glass is a powerful image. This forces the characters, and us as listeners, to confront the reality of what happened there. Comparing this story to other cultural tales, we see similar themes. In Japan, there are stories of Hanako Kannan, a ghost who haunts school bathrooms. In Western cultures, the idea of haunted restrooms or Bloody Mary rituals are common. What makes bloodstains in the comfort room uniquely Filipino is its grounding in real social issues and its connection to local beliefs about spirits and the afterlife. As a piece of storytelling, the narrative is effective because it balances fear with empathy. We're not just afraid of the ghost, we feel for her. We want her to find peace. The story's power lies in its ability to make us care about the fate of someone who suffered, and to remind us that the past is never really gone. For me, the most memorable moments are the proofreader's scream, the blood on the mirror, and the spirit quester's revelation about the woman's past. These scenes are haunting, but they also invite us to think about the real-life pain that can underlie even the most supernatural tales. If I had to find a flaw, it might be that the story leaves some questions unanswered. What happened after the quester's visit? Did the haunting ever stop? Sometimes, though, it's the unanswered questions that make a story linger in our minds long after we've heard it. Overall, Bloodstains in the Comfort Room is a chilling, thought-provoking story that blends horror, social commentary, and cultural tradition in a way that is uniquely Filipino and universally relatable. So, how do I rate Bloodstains in the Comfort Room as a ghost story and as a piece of cultural storytelling? I'd give it a solid 4.5 out of 5 stars. Let's break it down. Atmosphere and horror, 5 of 5. The build-up is masterful, the scares are genuine, and the imagery, especially the blood on the mirror, is unforgettable. Cultural context, 5 out of 5. Few stories do as good a job of weaving Filipino beliefs, history, and social issues into a ghost story that feels both real and supernatural. Narrative depth, 4.5 out of 5. The emotional core of the story, the abused woman's search for peace, adds layers of meaning. I would have liked a bit more closure, but perhaps that's part of the story's lasting power. Originality, 4 of 5. The haunted restroom is a familiar setting in ghost stories, both in the Philippines and elsewhere, but the addition of the spirit questers and the specific historical context makes this story stand out. Personal impact, 5 of 5. This story lingers with you. The details are vivid, the characters relatable, and the message about the need for justice and peace for all souls is deeply moving. If I'm being honest, the only reason I didn't give it a perfect score is because I was left wanting more resolution. Did the employees ever try to find a Quran? Did the haunting stop? Or does the tortured soul still wander the ninth floor, searching for rest? Sometimes, not knowing is what makes a story truly haunting. Before we wrap up, let's look ahead. In our next episode, we'll dive into another unforgettable tale, St. Elmo's Fire by Jerry Barrionuevo. Here's a little teaser. I love hamburgers. Ever since I was a kid, these have been my favorite fast food. I used to eat 2 jumbo burgers every snack time during my elementary days. Now I can eat up to 5 burgers in one sitting. I can still remember that my friends and I had a favorite burger stand beside our school that we frequented during merienda. But one day, something weird happened that almost killed my appetite for hamburgers. Our school is an old one, dating back to World War II. a place heavy with history and haunted by stories of executions and restless spirits. One afternoon, after a long day of play, I saw something I couldn't explain. A glowing silver ball floating in midair. Was it San Elmo's fire or something else entirely? If you've ever had a supernatural experience in a place you thought was perfectly ordinary, or if you just love a good ghost story, you won't want to miss our next episode. But before we go, I want to hear from you. Have you ever experienced something you couldn't explain? Maybe a haunted restroom, a flickering light, a voice calling for help in the night? What do you think makes places like offices, schools, and homes so vulnerable to hauntings? Share your stories with us, and we might feature them in a future episode. Tonight's story reminds us that even the most ordinary places can carry the weight of extraordinary events. Sometimes the past isn't as far away as we think. Sometimes it's waiting for someone to notice, to care, to help a lost soul find peace. So, what have we learned tonight? We've learned that fear is universal, but so is empathy. We've seen how stories can teach us about justice, compassion, and the importance of facing the past. Most of all, we've discovered that the scariest stories aren't just about ghosts. They're about the echoes of real people, real pain, and the hope that one day, every soul can find rest. As we close out this episode, I want to thank you for joining me on this journey into the unknown. I hope you'll tune in next time when we explore the mysteries of San Elmo's fire and what it means to see the supernatural in the light of everyday life. Until then, stay curious, stay brave, and remember, the shadows are never as empty as they seem. I'm Mark, and you've been listening to the True Philippine Ghost Stories podcast. Good night, and see you in the next episode.